on in, when we're going to learn about a lot of new things about the idea of what does coexist mean, and the nice, easy topic. So let's pray as we worship the Lord in song. Lord, we thank you so much for your time, for your, for your presence even now, and your love, and your kindness towards us. We ask that we would worship you together in unity and in love, and that you would bless the service, bless the music team, bless all that are working in the Sunday school, and that you would really build our hearts in your truth today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So good morning, everyone. I had, had a thought today. I was listening to a pastor speak, and he had an interesting thing he said. He said, what is the most common topic of conversation at work? The most common topic. How on earth could there be a common topic? And was more specific, less specific than that. He said the most common theme of conversation is complaining about something. Complaining about the weather, complaining about your boss, complaining about your pay, complaining about your wife or your ex-wife or your soon-to-be ex-wife or something like that. And I listen to him and I go, that's kind of crazy. That's his opinion. And I started looking at my own life, at what I talked about, and I go, I complain a lot about a lot of things. And I realized he was right. And so I wanted to do this just for a minute today. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, starts 16, be joyful always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances. You know, it takes faith to be thankful. You have to realize God is real. So I thought you could turn to the person next to you and think of one thing you're thankful for and tell them what that is. You can be thankful that you're still able to tie your own shoes. That's a good thing. So just take a minute and turn to the person next to you and tell them one thing you're thankful for. Thank you for doing in that. It's good to make the practice of being thankful. So two announcements coming up. We have, once a month, we have our Glen Arbor prayer meeting where we gather together for 1 hour to pray for our church, our community, and our country. And that is next Saturday, August 5th. And we're having a core meeting afterwards. We're going to talk about a very important topic. There's an organization in town that serves at-risk families caring for their children in their preschool, and they've outgrown their facility. They're called Educare, and they've made an offer to us to lease the education wing of our building, the whole thing over there. It'd be a big change for us, and that they would be here 5 days a week, and we're not used to that much activity, and so we're going to talk about pros and cons, and there's no formal contract or agreement. They just made an offer, so we're going to get your input about that. We're excited about the opportunity to have more people coming in and out and families coming in and out, but it would be a big change for us. So if you can make it, that's right after the prayer meeting next, or this coming Saturday. And the last announcement for today is our teen group is going to Feed My Starving Children on August 19th. Everyone is invited. It's a really neat participatory process to pack food to help families around the world. I think they've been sending a lot of food to Haiti, but we need to give a head count to them of how many people we're bringing, not breathing, how many people we're bringing. So if you're planning on going, this is my friend Chris. He needs to know today. So please give him a number today if you'd like to come. That's all the announcements I have. This is a time in our service where the ushers are going to come forward and take the offering. And so if you would like to honor the Lord with how he has blessed you financially, this is the time in our service to do that.
scared me for a moment, and now I'm still scared because if my PowerPoint doesn't come up, this will be difficult. Welcome to Glen Arbor Community Church. I'm one of the pastors here, Greg Staniger, and we're continuing our discussion of being ambassadors in a polarized world. And so we've decided to take on some controversial topics. Why we decided to do that, I'm questioning myself now whether we should have done that in the first place, but here we are, we're doing it. So the purpose of this series is to kind of give you as ambassadors out there that are facing these things, such as various controversial topics and polarizing subjects, like last week Dean talked about social justice, politics, we've talked about sexual relations, tolerance, and race, and why not this particular topic. So I'm sure you've seen this bumper sticker somewhere, probably on a car, because it is a bumper sticker typically, in various locations. And this image was created by, in Poland, actually. And it was, I'll tell you who it was, and I'll try to say his name right. Piotr Mlendzenik in 2000 at a Warsaw-based, he's a Warsaw-based graphic designer, and it was an entry in an international art competition sponsored by the Museum of the Seam for Dialogue and Understanding and Coexistence. So he used that word in his artwork. The original version was one of dozens of works displayed as larger outdoor posters in Jerusalem in 2001. Now, I was able to find it, but I was not able to copy it into my PowerPoint because it is copyrighted, that particular artwork. It's different than this one. It actually just has this symbol, and this symbol. The others are letters. So it's been changed over the years, and people have really used it as their own. We can kind of see what this is about. This is the crescent star of the Islam faith. This is the peace symbol, which can go anywhere. This is man and woman. Obviously, this is the Star of David. This is the Wicca symbol. This is the Taoist symbol of yin yang, and then the Christian symbol, and that's Christian's question mark, in case you didn't know what that was. So the idea is that those things should coexist, but these items here were added by various people, and there's other versions of this now. So for this, you'll see sometimes a scientific symbol, E, and another Wicca symbol here, two of the variations. And there's other variations too, like one that's completely made of guns, just all the letters. There's various, many different variations on this particular one that people have gone off on. Kind of like, you know, remember the commercial that said, got milk? Well, everybody's done different things, you know, got this, got that. And so this kind of artwork has really kind of, people have taken it for their own and used it for various things. And so that's the very, very complicated thing. So when you see that, or you have someone that has that, what are they thinking? That's a great question because it's difficult to know. This is clever in that it incorporates several belief systems, and that's what's really important about this. It's about belief systems, not necessarily doesn't involve race or color or anything like that. So this is kind of in it. It's kind of focused on specifically religious thinking. So we agree that we want peace. We don't want conflict. That seems like a good idea. This seems like a good idea. Christ talks about turning the other cheek, and blessed are the peacemakers, so this sounds good. That seems okay. How do you then, or how do we respond or work with someone who sees this as the future? You know, are our religious beliefs really at the core of conflict? That's the question. Is misunderstanding the reason why war and death and poverty? Is misunderstanding about this issue, is religious misunderstanding at the core of war, at the core of death, and at the core of poverty? What is the biblical answer to all this? And how should we respond to it? So we're going to do that. We're going to look at coexist, what is conflict and freedom, how we should be at peace, and living a holy sacrifice. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your guidance on this. Lord, ask that you just give us guidance. Give me guidance on even talking about this. This is a difficult topic and can be very controversial in some ways. Just ask that you give us just direction, peace on how to really work with people and love them and care for them and be ambassadors, to be at peace with all men while also being ambassadors for you. In your name we pray. Amen. So this question, and I chose this black background because that's the black background that's used in the bumper sticker, where it was easy to choose because it's just black. The question is very difficult to understand as far as what is this. And it's not just one movement, but several movements. We're going to talk about four of them. There's really over a dozen different ones that are much smaller. But these are the four primary, what I'll call the, what I, as I studied it, looks like these are the four primary ones. They're four different, and they're independent and not necessarily related. But they do use this symbol, or they use this term as the core of what they're proposing. So the four are global unity, and it's really about globalization and global unity through mission work and education. That's the first one. The second is global unity through interfaith unitarianism. So that's a different group. And then another group is global unity through government and business initiative. And then finally, global unity through generalized secularization. So, whoa, man, that's a lot of words, Greg. I don't know if I can sleep through, or I mean, stay awake through all that. Well, don't worry, it'll get better. So first one we're going to talk about, which is kind of, to me, the most interesting one, is the global unity through mission work and education. Coexist, you can go coexist.org, and they have a webpage, and they're a nonprofit organization that's raised a little over $31 million for its programs. What are its programs? Well, first let's talk about what their mission is. It's two. This is what their basic idea is. The problem is that globalization, you know, as the world grows and becomes more technological and connects to one another, people have run into each other. And so because they've run into each other from different cultures, cultures from third world countries and cultures from countries like the United States or Canada or other technological countries, there's been conflict. And to say Coexist was created to address the crisis of understanding that tears at the social fabric of societies around the world. Globalization has outpaced our understanding of one another, created divisions that plague communities with prejudice, hate, and violence. These divides create instability that affects every facet of life, reducing global economic output, health, education, and progress in arts and science. So in our interconnected world, as we get to know each other, lack of social coercion generates shock waves that damage not only the immediate region, but produce real consequences for the economy and job opportunities and communities on the other side of the world. So this is really focused on third world countries, primarily. Because there is health and education in like, for example, the United States or in Europe and so on. So their belief is that education will solve this problem. So if we educate people in third world countries, they'll be enlightened, and then they will stop fighting with each other. And primarily the focus is on different people groups that appear to be fighting within themselves, like in local areas, like region or tribes versus tribes or regions versus regions, not on a national level, hardly ever on a national level. This seems to use primarily organizations that are already in place, so all, you know, mostly Christian organizations, so like UNICEF or CARE or other types of organizations that are already there. They just funnel this money to them. So on the surface, it seems very like generally a good idea, but it's very focused in a very specific area. So it's kind of like the Hatfields and the McCoys, in a sense, if you're familiar with that story. So that's two feuding families that went on and on and on, and that is like a violence that was really unnecessary. So, hey, if we just understand each other, if you guys just get it together, you know, we can, you know, stop having violence, right? So that's kind of the concept, is their ignorance has caused this violence and prejudice. And so to them, education is everything. And that what that education is not clear. So you can kind of imagine is if you're the sponsor of whatever is doing this education, you get to input into that theme of unification, globalization, all into that. So that is primarily it is, but it's those two things. Is the idea is that because these people, there's been technological growth, there's been population growth, and so now we're butting up against each other, and we need to really educate third world countries to be part of the global community. And some of that seems like a fairly good idea. It's probably, though, through already moving through existing groups. And that's kind of where it ends. Whether the idea is to turn this, do anything more than that, it doesn't seem like it. It seems like once that's complete, they're kind of finished. So it's not, the idea is not to make it, do it all as on a global scale. The next item was this one, which you might have heard of, is global unity through interfaith Unitarianism. And there are groups that, particularly one in Portland, Oregon, that believes have taken that symbol and put it into their church or into their philosophy or move forward with it in kind of a religious church. So the independent, it's the idea is independent religious groups use this symbol and call themselves interfaith. So they have used this symbol. There are other interfaith organizations like the Unitarians who do not use this symbol, but it's a similar type idea. It is a form of Unitarianism. So from their webpage, their concept is to foster, promote, and create love, acceptance, and joy between all people, all races, and religions, both in Portland, Oregon, which is where they are. Area and globally through a shared experience of spirit to assist each individual participates in finding that same love and peace within. So the idea is to unify religions by saying all ideas and religions are equally valid and true. So man, and the other idea was that man will bring about heaven on earth as a co-creator. That's not my conclusion, this is what it says. So he says, the founder says in that song, he's talking about John Lennon's song, Imagine. If you're familiar with that song, the song says, imagine there's no countries, imagine there's no religion. If you eliminate all that, then we'll all be one, we'll be unified. He was asking us to create a new world, and he was asking us to use our greatest power as co-creators with God. I'm not clear on what that means, other than we are somehow godlike. That song describes nothing short of heaven on earth. So the idea is that there really isn't a heaven outside. This is our heaven. And so we're really our own solution in that idea. So you might say, well, that's not really a religion. I think it is in that it has a very similar, it looks like a religion to me. So this is from the webpages up. Well, the conversation with it, which they call, now that we've establish the foundation, here's how we communicate that, is to go deeper with spiritual principles. Spiritual principles are religious principles given during the event and help us to connect with community and talk about how our life is changing as a result of the experience and to help each other stay on the path. So there is a path. There is a truthful path here that needs to be stayed on. We encourage everyone, no matter what the church you are affiliated with, or if you are not affiliated with any church, to take the idea of coexist experience out into your world, so and share the idea of coexist being possible here and now. So there's a path, there's a spiritual principles, and there is evangelism. So the idea is that you need to take this message, and spread that around. So that, to me, is very much a religion. I know I'm going through these quickly, but there's a lot to cover. So the third one is global unity through governmental and business initiatives. This was very much more hidden. But basically, businesses and governments participate in mostly in passing or keeping the peace or passing out this message and using this message to keep the peace. So one way that that's done is there are coffee companies that allow these communities in the first one I talked about to make the coffee and sell the coffee so that it goes back into the programs. Does that sound familiar to something that Great Commission also does? So it's not something new. There's various, again, third world groups focus on production and globalization rather than conflict. So it's a familiar concept. This is very spread out, and it's generally business per business as they want to kind of join into this idea. This is more on an individual level for the business. This is finally the one we're probably most familiar with is global unity through general secularization. So this idea is that humans, the concept is, and this could be generally believed by those who are not, that think that these three guys that we talked about before, these three guys here are the problem. So if we eliminate that, then we're really on our own. It's fine that they believe that, but really we're basically good, which Gene talked about last week. The idea is people are basically good. Religion is the cause of most conflicts, thus they are the ones with the problem. Man can solve his own problems through education to globalized general idea. So we're just going to all think and believe the same thing. So this chorus is one of the songs that the interfaith song sing. It says, we've got the pen, we've got the story, all of it's about we do it. We make the glory, we, in the end, it's glory. And the title of our movie, you'll see as the credits list, starring all humanity. So humanity, mankind, is their own solution. That's really fundamentally at the core of this. So people that you talk to on a day-to-day basis won't know that. They'll just think, why can't you just stop fighting, right? Why can't you just... What they're really familiar with is, you know, terrorist attacks. They're familiar with what looks like holy wars, what looks like people arguing, people complaining at work about, you know, various religious things. That they see this as the core of conflict. And that's what we're going to look at. Is this really true? So this is the presumptions that are, I think, at the very fundamental basics of this idea. Conflict is caused by religious disagreement. People are basically good, and global education to a unified idea of acceptance of all ideas is required. Disagreement with this concept is backward and hateful. You ever are a hater, right? You ever heard that term? So is the source of hate, prejudice, and conflict based on religious conflict? Sometimes. It certainly can be in personal conflict, like with words. You know, people conflict. Nations conflict. There's, for example, Israel and Palestine. That is both social, economic, and religious, right? And that's been going on for years. They say Muslims and Christians have been fighting for years. For example, Mike and Sue Cater, how many of you received that Run Global email from them this past week? A few of you. So let's see if I have that up here. Yes, this is a photograph from that email, and you might recognize that background. It's this room, and Mike and Sue Cater, who are missionaries to Nepal now, but in that email, I noticed at the bottom, it said, We're praying for them as they visited us. And at the bottom, they talked about a Christian pastor assassinated by Hindu radicals. So there are many in each of those religions, there are different factions, though. So, for example, even within Christianity, there's what I'll call a peaceful faction, and then there's your militant faction. So there's people that are actually being much more aggressive in whatever they believe in. The Hindus are no different. So what does the Bible say about that? 2 Timothy 2:23, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. So that seems to indicate, so ignorance can produce quarrels or conflict. not necessarily all are religious. You know, have you ever been angry at someone, really angry at them, and then find out that what you were angry about them wasn't really true? Have you ever had that happen to you? Right? I assume. Has anybody ever had that happen to you? Okay. Thank you. Somebody. So I've had that happen to me, and then I was like, oh, crud, no, you know, my anger was unjustified. But because of my knowledge, now I knew that they were not trying to kill me. I was not justified in what I was angry about. Maybe as we learn more about people, we understand them and there is less conflict. Is that, however, a global answer? If we just come together and understand, we can overcome our differences through knowing more all by itself. We embrace our differences, but be different. Is that possible? Well, what does God say? What is really the source? He says that the source of quarrels and conflicts, what is it? It's not the source, your pleasures that wage war in your members, your lust, and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. People fight over stuff all the time. We see it everywhere. To dominate, to control, to have control over one another. This happens on the job. This happens in our families, in marriages, on baseball fields, in tribes, in nations, etc. Many conflicts are not religiously based. Many are not. They are, according to this verse, is because we're really selfish deep down. In fact, we talked about suffering a few weeks ago, and really, I didn't get a chance to talk about this, but one of the things that you, one of the reasons, the ultimate reason is because of original sin. Because man decided to take things under his own in control. And when he does that, that's when problems happen. But we want to blame the other guy. We never want to blame ourselves for our problems. Many conflicts, many, in fact, I would say most, are not religiously based. I would say very few are. If you look at the organizations on the coexist list, and there are others that are on here. There it is down there. So if you look at them, they have a peaceful arm and then they have a militant arm. So I'm not going to go through them, but for example, Islam does, Jewish does, Christians do, men and women do, anywhere from, you know, from feminism to He-Man Woman Haters Club, you know, all the way through that. And we just talked about the Hindu one. And they all do. They all have both peace and conflict in, as part of their, they have a way to deal with each of those. But they are not necessarily the source. The difference thinking is not necessarily a source of conflict. Within each of these beliefs are discussions about peace and conflict, but that does not mean they are the source. Disagreement is not necessarily a source of conflict. You know, how many of you go to school with somebody that is a Muslim? How many of you? I don't go to school, so. All right, everyone that goes to school. How many of you work with someone that is a Hindu? I do. They did not try to kill me this week. Shockingly. It might be over in a work thing, but not that. So we already coexist. You don't often have conflicts of religion with them. I don't ever. I have never had that. And I brought up the topic. In fact, in my conversations, have all been very pleasant. They've all, and oh yes, let me share about this. I want to talk about it. If anything, what I've really discovered, the thing that is a little annoying, is how little people know about their own religion. Most people don't know very much about their own religion, really, that they say they believe, including Christians. So how can there be conflict over something people don't really know very much about? So if someone comes in and says, your conflict that we're having is over the religions, oh, yeah, sure, I don't know. The truth is, in this country, at least, we already coexist. That's been my experience. That is the whole point of this nation. People can believe what they want in peace without the government telling them what to believe. That's the issue of separation of church and state. That's what our forefathers put in place, right? But if the government is trying to keep the peace, this might look very good. This might look like a valid idea. It might look very, very attractive. If I'm an administrator and I'm trying to keep the peace, someone offers me this, oh yeah, I'll go for it. Sure. And it might look attractive to them and to everyone. Why can't we just live together? All we need is love. But if I accept the idea that everyone's idea is equally valid, and here's the problem, that all is truth. Everything is truthful. I must diminish what I believe to accept that. That is, I must follow a different path. I cannot believe Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and anything else is as well. That is a fundamental difference in saying everyone has value. Because that's not what's being said. There's a big difference between someone saying that everyone has value, but that everyone is right. We all agree everyone has value, but I don't value them less to say I don't agree with their choices. That is why I choose this, right? I can love and be at peace with people that I don't agree with and be able to express that agreement or disagreement. Otherwise, I cease to be different. I am no longer one with the body of Christ. I am one with a rainbow that is turning the color gray, because everyone will be the same. So it's kind of like, you ever have this conversation? Usually it's at Thanksgiving, and they say, whatever you do, don't bring up what two topics? Right, and maybe in that order. That is a core difference, right? You avoid conflict. You don't want to bring those topics up because you want to avoid conflict, right? But what do you give up? You give up your freedom. So you cannot talk about those things because that interrupts. But that might bring about conflict. There is a core difference. Beyond the personal understanding and value of a person is the acceptance that all is true. Beyond the facade, you know, this idea, and it's a high ideal. This idea of coexistence is a good, you know, it's a high ideal. And it's not necessarily wrong. It's not. It's like, hey, let's all get together. Let's all live together. Let's coexist. Let's be together. Hey, that's great. But I don't want to have to change what I believe in order to join the group. Beyond the personal understanding and value of a person, it is the acceptance that all is true and thus is an exchange of intellectual and religious freedom for perceived overall peace when it is globalized as a political movement overall. That's what it really is. That's what you're exchanging. So I don't think that was the original intent. I don't think that was the original intent of the artist. We just said, hey, just live together, for that to be taken that way. But it's definitely gone in that direction. I don't think he intended to be a global political movement, just trying to make, hey, let's all live together kind of idea, or turned it into a global scale. But that's what it must mean if you actually implement that. So how do we respond? So if that's really true, how do we respond to people that says you need to coexist? Well, at the heart of Christianity is that as well. Paul says, be at peace. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. So, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind. Jumping to number 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of men. If possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. This is one of many verses that discuss avoiding conflict. Jesus said, do not engage if you are struck. He says what? Turn the other cheek. Give them your cloak also. Do not justify evil actions on your part because of someone else's evil. This is what we believe. This is personal sacrifice to do this. Be hospitable. This is the body of Christ in action, and I wish I had time to really go into that, but I don't. I don't have time to do that. But just how the whole body of Christ works together in unity, because even though we don't agree on absolutely everything, that's one of the things I really appreciate about Great Commission. There's a lot of rules, a lot of different thoughts and ideas that are even within Christianity that Great Commission says, well, salvation by Christ is what's important here. As long as we don't threaten, that's what's important. Here's our core beliefs. Everything else, you know, let's work together, brother. Let's coexist, right? And it's more than coexist. It's work together in unity, much, much more. It's a step beyond. It's really loving one another. We're a family. We're a body. We're working together in unity in the church. Much, much more powerful than that. And what does he say? This was the second part of that other verse. He says, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient with wrong. This is something different. This is even beyond that. It's not just existing together, but it's loving and living together. So it's even a step beyond that. So if someone, I don't think this would happen, but it's possible, if someone calls you a hater for not agreeing with this concept of coexist, you could say, I agree with everyone coexisting. In fact, I think we already do. I work hard at being at peace, this is something you would say, with everyone, including those who I disagree with. I am the Lord's bondservant, and I will not quarrel with you, but I have a right to believe what I choose. There is a difference between inherent value and inherent truth. Did you catch that last line? There is a difference between inherent value. Inherent value is what everyone has. They're valuable as a human being. They're inherently valuable. And inherent truth. That truth, for it to be valuable, has to be truth. It cannot be bleh. Anything goes. As Dean likes to say, we believe many things, right? It ceases to be truth if it doesn't really matter anymore. So, be at peace with all men. We're pretty good about that, as far as I know. Living holy sacrifice. This is the second most powerful thing that we have, if not the most important. Living holy sacrifice. He says earlier in Romans, I quoted Romans 12, 9 through 18 earlier. This is the first part of that chapter. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect. If I truly believe that Christ died for sins, that acceptance by God before his throne is that payment, I want to warn people about it. If I do not love them, I won't. If I don't care about them, I won't do that. If Muslims really believe that Muhammad has all the answers, if they care about me, they should tell me about it. Or Taoists, or Hindus, or anything. I have never, ever, ever had any of those people ever try to convert me. Why should I warn them if it is all true anyway? There's nothing to warn them about. Christians do warn people, and it is offensive, very offensive to many. As we mentioned, Hindus, this is almost a topic in itself, but for example, the Hindu assassin earlier, I shared some time ago that it's not estimated. There are 758 incidents against Christians every month in this world that are known about. About half involve fatalities. This is more than triple than all other religions combined. Well, why is that? Because of this. There is a peace element and a war element in any conflict. I already talked about being at peace with all men, but there is a spiritual war of souls about all of this. And that's really what this is about. It, for your struggle, is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. If that is true, we are soldiers and there are casualties. Because Christ died for us, we don't attack or hurt them or maim others for that our cause. We die for those who want to kill us. That's the big difference. Here, there's been another coexist sign, there's the coexist sign, and then there's been many, many rebuttal bumper stickers. The most popular one I've seen is, how can I coexist with someone that's trying to kill me? Right? And Christians know, people are trying to kill us. And I don't want to just coexist with them. I want to love them. I must love those who are trying to kill me, because that's what I'm commanded to do. And that's what Christ did. He didn't just coexist with people. He died for them. That's what he is asking of us if we take up our cross daily. We love them more than they love themselves, because they have inherent value about merely, they have inherent value, but I don't want them to just coexist. I want them to be united with my Savior. Coexisting until we die is not life. Living for others until we die, that is life. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So we talked about what was coexist, and that really is a complicated topic. And then what, as far as what's being presented, remember there's an overall good idea, like, for example, all we need is love, or generally a good idea, but then to actually implement something like that as a political statement, like you wouldn't implement got milk as a political statement, as a political initiative in government, unless everyone needs to have milk or else kind of thing. I hope you wouldn't. So if that's kind of where this ends up, is that, well, if you really take this to extreme, you kind of making that practical is really, that's where it starts to falter, because you must remove freedom in order to implement, force people to believe the same thing. So we talked about conflict and peace, or conflict and freedom, being at peace with all men, that's a commandment, but living a holy sacrifice for others. And this last verse I'll share with you is, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I'm going to quote one of my favorite books. It's also called Spiritual Leadership. It's the thin version that Paul Abbott wrote. And he says, people are more convinced by the depth of your conviction than the height of your logic. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for what you've shown us about this topic. Lord, I know it's complicated. It's hard. It's hard for me. And we want to love people, not just exist with them. And we want to do even more than that. And we just ask that you show us how to do that in our schools, in our work, and not be a complainer this week, but be at peace and show that you truly have changed our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.